Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Curtis Hurd. This episode will be previewing the match for Fulham against Bolton Wanderers. We have much to get through, and it looks like one of my Cottage Talk co-hosts is with me. I'm going to bring him on right now. Mr. Mike Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Had some technical problems there, but I've connected at last. And yeah, good to speak to you. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done a show.
It's been a while, Mike. I'm so happy that I could have you on, and Curtis should be joining us in a little bit. And before we start, I want to get your thoughts. I talked to David and Giannis the other day about this. What were your thoughts about the mood from the Fulham supporters at Griffin Park? Because we talked about that. I want to get your take on that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that the first half performance and culminating in them going past the fans into the dugout was probably the point of the season where the fans just had enough. They just, the players, the management, everyone was a target. And quite rightly so on this occasion. I'm not one for booing players and officials and that type of stuff, but it's just a culmination of 3 years of piss poor performances, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel for many people. I'm maybe not a doom monger like a lot of fans are, but yeah, it was just a culmination of everything. I mean, I've missed 3 games all year, home and away, and bar Blackburn, that first half was the probably the worst performance by a team this season.
Well, Mike, I watched the replay, and I got to tell you, the replay was worse than what I listened to, if that can even be possible. It was that bad. I actually talked to Matt Smith. We recorded an episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, and I got to tell you, those are two different teams. One looked like a team. The other one, as we've talked about many times, Mike, played like individuals.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that it was a local derby as well against Brentford, didn't help the mood at all. And, it was just really, really poor, as bad as it gets. And probably the lowest, bar relegation, probably the lowest point in the last 3 years, really. And it was bad. And, you've only got to look at the forums and Twitter and even the X-rated show you had the other day with the language. You can see the frustrations and that coming through. But it's time for us now. We get the game over tomorrow, and we have to wait and see what the club will do during the summer. I mean, there's lots of people throwing their toys out the pram and running away and saying, well, I'm taking my ball, I'm not going to come back next year, this kind of thing. The fact is, it's sport. Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're bad. You have good runs over a number of years, and then you have, the low points. And it's all part of being a fan of a sport, as you know, Russ. And, supporters, I'm not going to say real supporters or anything like that. It's just supporters of clubs have to endure these times to enjoy the good times. And, let's hope Jukanovic gets backed heavily in the summer, which if you read between the lines, that's what they're going to do. And, I'm sure we can push on. I'm still convinced we got the right bloke. I was upset at a couple of decisions he's made recently, but let's give him the summer. Let's let him bring his players in and see where we go from there.
Okay, very good, Mike. And I'm going to bring Curtis on the line right now. Let's bring Curtis on. Curtis, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hi, Russ. I've been looking forward to the show, so it's quite nice to come on and co-host with Mike today and preview Bolton.
Looking forward to it, Curtis. Looking forward to it. Why don't we get started? Mike's now on the line, and let's start here. I've got some Fulham news for you. That's how we're going to start the show. And the team news, it was actually on the Fulham Twitter page that Fernando Morbieta, Michael Maddow, Jazz Richards, Moussa Dembele, and Sakari Matilla will all miss tomorrow's game. What do you make of all these players missing this match, this final match of the season?
Well, tomorrow's game for me is preparing for the next season in a way, and I'm pleased that Musa misses out because of injury, because obviously I would have liked him to score and for his last game, but I think it's much more important to focus on next season, really, and prepare. So without him, I think it'll be a good test, because we've relied on him a bit too much this season, and him and Ross. So players have to get used to him not being there. So so that's just the way I think about it, really. And I hope the team can perform tomorrow without him, because he has been influential in scoring goals and
absolutely,
and in the attacking third. So yeah, I don't think Matilla, I don't mind. I don't think we're likely to use him anyway. So the only thing is, if he was in Slavista's plan next season, which I don't think he is, I'm a bit disappointed that Fernando Morbieta and Michael Madil miss out, because I think next year they will be involved hugely. Have to sign Madil on a permanent first, but I hope and I think we will. So yeah, hopefully we'll do that. And only thing is about Fernando is his game, yellow and red all the time, so we got that to consider. But yeah, they're the only disappointing ones for me, them two centre backs, because I think Slavisa will be looking at them for next season. Richards, I don't mind Richards missing out. Ryan Fredericks will play, and in my opinion, is much better than Richards, and I think Ryan will be involved a lot more next season, and I hope Richards moves on in a way and get Grimmer on the bench. I know he hasn't been brilliant for Fulham, but he's got the best years ahead of him, and hopefully a loan spell at Shrewsbury will be good for him. But yeah, so I'm not too pleased, but not too disappointed at the team tomorrow, and just disappointed about Fernando Morbieta and Michael Madil missing out.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Before I bring Mike on, I just want to mention this. You know, again, and question that I have from Mike, we'll talk about this. When we did the show with Matt Smith, the coaching corner, Matt said he believes that besides Madil, all the players that are listed in the team news that will be out, he believes most of them or all of them besides Madil won't be back. And that's very interesting, because I wouldn't mind seeing Fernando Morbieta, of course, Moussa Dembele. And Mike, I'm going to bring you back on in just one second. I just want to ask you the question, your thoughts on the players out, and also, do you think we have possibly seen the last match at Craven Cottage for Moussa Dembele with Fulham?
Yeah, I would certainly think that Dembele will make a move, and you know, I'm a massive fan of his, and would like him to stay, and I think that would be the right thing for him. But I think he would have signed a contract by now, and Jokanović hinted last week when he dropped him that it was unlikely he was going to be around next year. So yeah, I think we've seen the last of him. And you know, lots of people going on about Ross and his goals and how important they were to us. But you know, Dembele, for all his all the fans who are not keen on him, you know, he scored over a dozen goals for us this year, and they were all important. And him and Ross, you know, were a deadly duo in the league. And you know, it shouldn't be forgotten his contribution this year. As for the others, Matilla, he's not been around recently, and looks like he's not really good enough. Madil, well, let's hope we do sign him. I saw something today saying that there is an agreement in place and it's done and dusted. Ambretta, I'm not. It's a difficult one with him. He has played okay, and you know, he seems to have calmed down a little bit. But you always feel he's playing on the edge, and do we really want that, considering, you know, how many penalties we've given away this year and sending it off and that kind of thing? And do we want someone a bit more calmer? So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the summer. As for Richards, well, my car's available. I'll drive him anywhere. I'm not disappointed about that after last week's atrocious, I'm not even going to call it a performance, but his appearance on it, you know, on the pitch. So, and it's going to give, you know, I don't think he'll bring in any youngsters to start. Maybe one might sneak on the bench, but I think we'll just see the squad players he's been using just comes, you know, and replace those, you know, Stearman and maybe Byrne, or if not Ream, again, the centre. It's that kind of thing in Fredericks at right back. So, yeah, Ambrett and Madel will be missed, but as for Matilla and Richards, no.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's now move on to some speculation. I have three pieces of speculation that I want to get both of your thoughts on. And, Curtis, I'm going to start with you. I actually was contacted by some Rangers fans asking me my thoughts on Ben Pringle, because there's been some speculation linking him to Rangers up in Scotland. What are your thoughts on this?
I can see him moving on, in my opinion. Yeah. Ben Pringle, he worked well under Kit. He scored a few goals, and it's just a shame that he doesn't fit Slavisa's tactical plans. And I don't think he would be transformed into left wing back. So if the rumours are true that Ben Pringle is interesting Rangers, then I think he'll move on. But he is a good player, and so I think he'll attract a lot of clubs. He played well for Rotherham, getting player of the season, etc. And he's played well for Ipswich, scoring a couple goals. And surely a few Championship sides are interested. So I wouldn't be surprised if he moves on. I don't want him to, but at the same time, if he doesn't fit into the manager's plans, then he just can't be kept in the squad. And,
I agree with that.
It is a shame, because I think he's a good player, and getting him on a free with Andrew Lonergan at the first signings of the summer, it's a good bit of business. But it was he was the Kit squad, and Slavisa's squad is going to be different tactical plans with different type of players, and he doesn't fit that. He fitted Kit perfectly, and that's why Kit put his trust in him and signed him. So it's a shame, but I really can see him moving on, as much as I don't want it to happen.
It's interesting, because I was excited that we signed him, Curtis, and because I remember the good job he did at Rotherham, and I thought, you know, it would work for Fulham. I guess I was looking for a little bit different. I thought he'd be more of a real winger. You know, again, his crossing's great, but I don't think he had the pace that I had hoped that he had. That's really not his game. It just wasn't the right fit. So now he moves on. Now he moves on. There's talk that he might move on. And I think the bottom line, I think you're probably nailing it. This just wasn't the right fit for him.
Yeah, it just wasn't, and it is a shame, because he's a good player and it was a good signing at the time. And with Kit going, it was just his time up at the club. And when we did sign him, I didn't know much about him. My friend's a Rotherham supporter, and he was jealous. So I thought I expected good things, but like you said, his pace was was just lacking, and he wasn't the winger that we expected. However,
exactly.
When he played for Kit, I thought he was okay. I thought he did the job. And my main memory of him was scoring the goal at QPR, so maybe that makes it a bit better. So,
I hear you, my friend. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you in just one second. I'm going to combine two pieces of speculation. I want your thoughts on Ben Pringle, and also why you don't think he worked out for Fulham, if you agree with me and of course, Curtis, on that he wasn't the right fit. But then I want to transition and talk about another winger, because I saw this piece of speculation from the Sun. Again, it's speculation. Let's call it what it is. but it was Fulham linked to Ben Marshall, a winger slash right back from Blackburn, and he did a number on us away at Blackburn. You were at this match. So I want you to really talk about Pringle, your thoughts on that situation, and then let's transition and get your thoughts on this other speculation with Ben Marshall. So, Mike, I'm going to bring you back on and get your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, Pringle hasn't worked out for him, certainly in the second half of the season, and he was, you know, his form was mixed at the beginning. But, you know, we talk about changing the squad completely and, you know, bringing in, you know, dozens of players and we'll go. But in the end, you still need players who can contribute. And me personally, I'd continue with Pringle in the squad next year. I think he may have found a move from Rotherham to London, big city and that kind of thing. Maybe that troubled him a little bit. But I mean, we spoke about him, you know, not being a natural winger like you expected him to be. But I think in a midfield three, as he showed at Ipswich initially when he went on loan, you know, he has got a place, to play. And the fact that he's done well at Rotherham and he's done okay at Ipswich means, you know, in the Championship, he can offer something. So, I would persist with him. He does have a decent left foot and, certainly worth, keeping on. Marshall, well, I mean, he did play well against us. He got the penalty, if I'm right in thinking, up at Blackburn as well, when Garbutt said, fall over my leg, please, and, chopped him down. And he ripped us apart down that side. So my only worry about that is, and I've already seen it elsewhere, is last year, and we've just been speaking about Pringle, are we going to go after players again who have played well against us when, in fact, we should be looking more at what they do as a whole, So, yes, it's, when a player has a man in a match performance against us, you think, oh, yeah, he'd be good for us next year. And they go and sign him, and then you find out, he's not the right fit. My hope is, and, Jokanović, Rigg, whoever's involved in buying these players, looks holistically at the whole squad. Is it the right balance? Do we need another right back if we haven't got rid of Richards? Marshall is a winger come right back, wing back, but we've got Grimmer, Grimmer, as I'm a big fan of. Richards is still there, as much as we all want him to go, and then you have Fredericks, and then let's not go and get another right-sided player because that gives you four. So you've got to offload some as well. So, it's good to be linked, I think, with players. That shows there's feelers out, possibly, and Blackburn's not been a happy place either this year. So there might be a chance of getting him. But I think we need to look at players and go, could that player be in a team in the top six? Could Marshall? Possibly, but I'm not totally sure.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, I'm going to bring Curtis back on. And Curtis, I want to get your thoughts on this. Mike brings up a good point. Ben Marshall played very well against Fulham, and we're thinking, is this just a player they're targeting because he played well against us? Or is he a player that fits a need, a true winger slash right back, someone that has some pace and might be able to offer something? But Mike brought up a good point. Is this a player that can be part of a top six team? Very interesting take by Mr. Greg, as always. What are your thoughts on that, Curtis?
Well, I don't trust Mike Rigg, I'm afraid. So I think Mike's got a point. So are we just buying him because he's
a
he's
good
played
point
good
by
against
Mike,
us?
By the way. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And but there's been a lot of speculation about this, and I think it originally came out of the paper, so The Sun, I believe. So whether it's reliable or not, then different debate. But if it is true, then what I have seen of him is fair enough. I just think we're okay in the right back department, really. For me, Ryan Fredericks is a good player and deserves a place right back for next season. We have Richards and Grimmer, but I'd prefer if we'd looked at a left back, because like Mike just said, we got a lot of options on the right, but who have we got on the left? We possibly Ryan Sessegnon if we bring him through. We got Sean Cavaghan, but we've only got Luke Garbutt on loan. We had James Hosbin on loan. There's no one on the left back, so maybe Mike Rigg has to look more in depth at the left back rather than the right back. But like I say, it's out of the paper, so it just could be made up. It could be just something someone's heard, but I'm not sure if it's true, if I'm honest. And if it is true, I don't think Slavisa will be looking to buy players from the Championship. I think he'll be looking to buy players from abroad, really. Michael Maddell is a good example of this. He obviously knew him before, and I think Michael has really worked for us. He's been in the second part of the season my player of the season. I think Ross McCormack might score all the goals. Scott Parker might be really good, but he's been solid when we played, and so I just think maybe Slavisa might want to build a team that's come from abroad that he knows, and them sort of signings can work. You know, it's like Bristol City and Codger, I think his name was, and I think he scored 2 goals against us this season, and he was bought for 2 mil, and he's scored around about 20 goals for them. So these sorts of transfers can work, but I just don't think that Slavisa will be looking to buy from the Championship. But Kit and Mike Gregg did, and Mike Gregg.
I know. It's actually confusing.
It's too many Mikes.
Too many Mikes. I've done it. David's done it several times. So don't feel bad there, Curse.
That they did it, and I think they've learned. Well, I hope they learned their mistake. They brought people like Tim Ream, Richard Stearman, and whether we do buy someone from in the Championship, I think Mike has got a good argument. Would they be a good signing for a top 6 side? Not entirely sure, but for us, maybe. But do we need it on the right side? Because I think the left is far too weak compared to the right.
Okay, very, very good there, my friend. All right, let's move to one piece of speculation that I saw, I want to say several days ago, but has me concerned, but this is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We know it's coming. It deals with Ross McCormack. I believe it initiated in the Daily Mail, and Mike, I'm going to go to you in 1 second, because this speculation, it was on Sunday, actually, that Aston Villa could make a huge bid for foam striker Ross McCormack. Now, what's interesting about this, what I read, is that it talked about a clause in his contract. So I'm assuming, you should never assume, but I have a feeling what they're talking about, a clause meaning a potential release clause. That's the way I read it. So that got me a little concerned, because I had not heard anything about any kind of clause in Ross's contract. So, Mike, I want to bring you on. I want to get your thoughts on the speculation. We know it's coming. The only thing that was different to me was reading about a clause in his contract.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's look at the speculation. When we came down, what did we do? We looked for a striker, a Championship striker who scored a lot of goals. Villa are coming down. A couple of other teams are going to come down. They're going to be looking for the same thing, and Ross is going to be a target, because look at where we've been the last 2 years. Look at where Leeds were when we signed him. So, you know, he is going to be hot property, really. And the real question for the club is, and Jokanović, if you like, is do we take the money and use that to, rebuild by different kind of striker? That's that type of thing. So I think we're going to be tested in the summer, with some, I would say, at least one or two decent bids, where we have to decide do we keep a 29, 30 year old as Russ, you know? But as to regards his contract, well, let's be honest, you know, he was going to go in January, you know, they'd made the offers, and then he stayed, we've given him another contract. It's all sweeteners, Russ, that's what it is. And, you know, he wouldn't have signed another, you know, his third pay rise in 18 months at the time. So he's probably got a fixed fee contract in there, a clause in there somewhere. And, you know, and that could be good for the club because, you know, they're come along and they're bid six, five, six, seven. And if we've got something in there that says, you know, 12 to 15 and someone like Villa is willing to pay for it, then, you know, I think you have to give it real serious consideration for a number of reasons. And I know that's, you know, that's a weird thing to say when a striker's just scored, you know, 20-odd goals for you, you know, 2 years on the trot. But you could spend a whole show talking about Ross McCormack and what he offers and what he doesn't offer and why you should keep him, why you shouldn't keep him. So, yeah, I'm not that surprised there's a clause, and it's probably been leaked by an agent somewhere. But it would just be interesting to know what exactly that clause is.
I totally agree there, Mike. All right, Curtis, over to you. What are your thoughts about this speculation with Ross McCormack? Like I mentioned, this is something to expect. Mike brought up a great point. We were linked after we went down to the best, one of the best strikers in the championship. That was with Leeds. Leeds were struggling. So this kind of makes sense. What are your thoughts about the speculation, and how concerned are you?
Well, if I'm honest, I'm not concerned at all, really. It's just speculation to me, and I think Mike's got a really good point in signing his third pay rise of the season and literally taking the words out of my mouth. And, I really don't think it's going to happen. And the only thing that surprises me, really, is the clause. And but if there wasn't a clause, then I don't think we would sell him, because Tony Khan, Shahid Khan's son, he's a head of analysis, I think, at Fulham, and yeah, he would have been over it thousands of times that Ross McCormack is our best player, and I don't think he would let us sell McCormack. And so it would have to be a considerable amount of money. And Slavisa doesn't want McCormack to leave. Mike Rigg and Alistair McIntosh, I know they're a pair of clowns, really, but surely they wouldn't be stupid enough to let him leave. Without McCormack, we would be in League One now, whether it was last season we got relegated or this season. But without his goals, without his assists, without his playmaking, we would be in a much worse situation than we are now. So I really don't think we'd tell him. I don't think we'd be stupid enough. It's just if that there is a clause in his contract, then that is worrying. But if not, it's just speculation, and hopefully we can rebuild without the worry of this and focus on the coming ins rather than the going outs. And if Villa have made a bid, then I would have thought Gabby Bondhor maybe would be in exchange, because there's been a bit of trouble
with him,
there. Yeah. And we did try and bring him in on the loan season, I believe, and it was either him or Gary Hooper, and it just got called off by one of Aston Villa's directors at the last minute, I think, and that's what I've heard anyway. But I just think this story about Villa wanting McCormack is just press, and if they want to bid considerable amounts of money, then they can. Whether they got clause in his contract or not, then that's a different story. But it's only speculation at the minute, so I'm not worried. If it gets more on social media and more on Twitter, I'll think more about it and maybe start worrying a bit more. But just speculation.
I hear where you're coming. It is speculation. Let's stress this. It's just something that I read from the Daily Mail, just like the other stories, I could say, that I just mentioned. That's why we're just starting the speculation talk, because it's going to start heating up. But let's transition, and Mike, I'm going to go to you in 1 second, because this is something that I'm really curious your thoughts on. This is actually good news. Both Fulham Academy players, Ryan Sessegnon and Dennis Adeniran, if I said that wrong, I apologize, are part of the Fulham Under-17s. I'm sorry, England Under-17s. I can't believe I said Fulham Under-17s in the European Championship. So here's my question to you, Mike. Do you think either could have a chance to be part of the Fulham first team next season? I believe I had read that Ryan Sessegnon was already training with the first team. What are your thoughts about these two players?
Let's remember how young they are. And, you know, Ryan's a really good prospect. And he was on the Craven Cottage pitch the last game. You know, probably as the 19th man of the squad, if you like, which is giving him a taste of, you know, the big match experience, if you like. And that tells me that he's close to the squad. And, in Jokanović's planned possibly for next year. I mean, it will be a massive jump, but, potentially he's good enough. Dennis, I really like. He's fast. He works hard in the middle. But I don't see him anywhere near the first team next year. He's still got a lot of work to do. But, Ryan, all the England coaches rate him. He's there's other clubs after him. But from what I gather, he's very happy at Fulham with him and his brother. I think there is possibly a chance that we will see him make an appearance at some stage, be it pre-season, to see how he fits in. I think they're looking to fast-track him.
Mike, what's the timetable for someone of his age to sign a contract?
Well, when he hits 17, the maximum length of contract he could sign is a 3-year contract. So, and then when he hits 18, so he can sign one at 17, which is 3 years, and then when he hits 18, we can offer him, I think it's a 4-year max, possibly a 5-year, because he's English. But really, the signpost is 17, get him signed up, and then take it from there, really. It's slightly different rules for players who have come from abroad and that type of thing.
Okay, very good there, Mike. That's what I wanted to ask you. I just wanted clarification on that. I knew that it was 17, but I just wanted the whole term spelled out, and you did a wonderful job of doing that. All right, Curtis, what are your thoughts about these two young players? Again, they're both very good prospects for the future. Ryan Sessegnon, like I mentioned, Mike has already mentioned, is getting a good amount of press. So do you think it's possible we could see him next season with Fulham?
Yeah, I think it is. Ryan is a really good player, and I mentioned earlier that I hope that he will feature this season. And if I was the Vs, I'd give him a go in the first team. He's still young, and he's got a lot of development to do. But it's not about age; it's about ability, really. And Ryan, he has got it, and there's no question about that. Playing for England under-17 in the Euros this summer, I think. He has got the quality, and the first team appearances would just help his progression, in my opinion. And the only competition that he does have is Sean Cavan, who's at Mansfield at the moment, unless we bring anyone in. So, yeah, I can see him in the first team, and I really do hope that that he is around the first team at the moment, because he is a great footballer, there's no doubt about that.
Before we move on, do you think I think it's a positive. He's been through the academy, Curtis, and his brother's always there, is also there as well. So maybe that's a good sign. Hopefully, and Mike has heard that he's happy at Fulham, that he will sign a contract when he turns 17.
Hopefully, yeah. I would definitely get him training with the under 21s. I'm not sure what the situation with him is at the minute with Fulham, but I really hope that he's at least training with the under 21s, and if not training with the first team, because he has got the ability, he has got the quality, and he's been on goal of the month a couple of times, and he might have won it once. I'm trying to think now, but yeah, he might have won it once, and he is good. He's got pace of what I've seen of him, and I think he's a hard worker, and so yeah, just really hope that he can develop and get into the first team next season and see what he has to offer. Hopefully maybe some pre-season games. I know we faced Watford in behind closed doors friendlies a couple of times this season. Maybe that type of game would be good for him, playing against better players than him, more muscular presence. So the Championship's a physical league, but let's hope he can keep up and definitely have a go despite his age. And the other player, Dennis, is a good player.
Yes.
And but I just think it's too early for him at the moment, and
sure.
Would love to sign him on a contract as long as we can, and same for Ryan, you know. And but I just think for Dennis it's a bit too early in his development. He hasn't developed enough as Ryan, I don't think. And
sure,
you know, get them trained to the highest possible team at Fulham, and try and speed them along. You know, if I was Mike Rigg, I'd be encouraging to fast track, as Mike just said, to get him and both of them into the first team as quickly as possible. Because if it's not this season coming up, then I think there should definitely be a chance for them in the season after that.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, a couple other things I want to discuss before we break down the Bolton match. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you in 1 second. Let's talk about this. There was a terrible rumor that was started on Sunday on social media that Gentleman Jin had been sacked by Fulham. I was told by a very reliable source that this was 100% false. Mike, what are your thoughts on this rumor and Jim's role with Fulham? I know that you go to all the matches and don't hear him that often, but I'm sure you understand what his role is. So let me bring you on. I want to get your thoughts on this whole situation with Gentleman Jim.
Well, yeah, there's so many rumors, aren't there? You see him. I mean, wasn't Sean Davis sacked earlier this year as well? And I think that came from the same forum as well. So it's just people stirring, isn't it? I mean, I haven't seen anything official from the club, but I suspect I know who your source is. And so, as long as he's doing the commentary tomorrow, then that person who started that rumour just shows that, you know, they were just making it up, just trying to cause problems. And that's what you're seeing a lot at the moment, is people, you know, allegedly Fulham fans, you know, just trying to start, you know, rumours, problems, just to badmouth the club, individuals, players, even fans. So you take it all with a pinch of salt and wait for something official to be announced, but just pretty much ignore it. But you know, he does a good job. He's a fan at heart. I listen to him occasionally, and obviously he's on the replays as well, apart from last week, of course, where it was accidentally not uploaded, but allegedly. But you know, he's a lot of fans rely on him on match days, as you've especially
I do.
Since we, yeah, exactly, yourself and many others who can't get to the games, and you know, especially since we came down to the Championship. So you know, Jim does a difficult job, and anyone who criticizes him should give it a go, try and commentate for a whole game, and it's not easy. And he's part of the Fulham fabric, isn't he? You know, part of the family, and, you know, he makes his mistakes like anyone else, but you know, we should all support him, and hopefully he will be there tomorrow, and this rumor is just a load of rubbish.
Yes, Mike. That'll be the ultimate test. Will be tomorrow, and I expect that Jim will be there. And I just want to mention this. I said I do because I really do depend on Gentleman Jim, and I'm used to announcers like Jim. Curse, before I go to you, I just want to just tell you a little bit about my history. Here where I live, I'm used to what we would call a homer announcer, basically giving you the view of the team. You know, I guess you could say a fan view, and I get that, and Jim's a fan, and I take it for what it's worth. You know, he wants Fulham to win in the worst way. I personally did not like the fact that there was this rumor out there, and like Mike said, maybe these are just fans trying to stir the pot. But I was told that this rumor was 100% false. I guess we'll find out 100% tomorrow. But it bothered me because I see what Jim does, and I value him. And on the last broadcast, he was critical of Fulham. So I don't know if that's why this started. But I was actually glad that he was, because he was saying it like it was. They played horrible, and he described it that way, and that's fine. Curtis, what are your thoughts about this rumor with Gentleman Jim?
Well, I just think it's a rumor, and it was just a technical glitch, apparently, and people come into conclusions stirring the pot, as you say, or just, you know, trying to just trying to cause a rumor on Twitter and social media, and I just don't think Fulham would sack him, really. Most of the fans like him. He's a good enough commentator, and
it's
one
a tough job, Curtis.
Yeah,
Curtis,
it
it's a
is.
Tough job.
And for that period of time as well, it is a tough job, like you say. But the one thing that really stands out for me about Jim is his passion, and he has a
exactly.
love for the club, and he is a fan, and he is really pleased when we score, when we win, and devastated when we concede and lose. So you can just hear it in his voice when we score, and I just don't think Fulham would sack him. He's a good enough commentator, and is a hard job, and he has got the passion. So yeah, I just think we'll find out tomorrow, and hopefully it's just false, and it was just a technical glitch. And I think even Sammy said on Twitter that it was his mistake, and so yeah, I think Gentleman Jim will be there tomorrow, and will be dismissed.
Yeah, I have a strong feeling that he will be there, and you know what, I like his passion. You know, I've heard him criticized for being what I would call a homer, and I understand that, but he's our homer, he's our guy, he's a Fulham guy through and through, and I like the fact that I can listen to my broadcast with Gentleman Jim, and I wouldn't want that to change. So I don't believe anything to do with this rumor. I think it's 100% false, and like we've all been talking about, we'll find out definitely tomorrow. All right, the last piece of business, this actually was a question from a Fulham supporter, Ben Reed, Briefcase Ben. You guys might know who he is, and Mike, I'll go to you first. I'm just going to read it verbatim. This is what he messaged me. He wanted both of you to comment on this. I'll just put it in quotes. Quote, is the planned lap of honor the most inappropriate in recent memory? Mike, I'm going to bring you on and get your thoughts on what Ben brought to the table here.
I mean, if I was the club, I wouldn't do one tomorrow. I mean, it has become tradition no matter what, but I think let's just finish the game and let's all just go home and let's just rebuild for next year, and those players who are leave, and those who are staying, stay. But I think they'll be doing a lap of honour to a pretty much empty stadium, and if they lose tomorrow, it would be a little bit ugly, I suspect, as well. So, no, I mean, I think it will be inappropriate given the performances this year at times. And yeah, so I would cancel it if I was the club. I wouldn't even mention it anywhere. I just wouldn't do it. And as simple as that.
Okay, very good. Very interesting take there, Mr. Greg. Curtis, what are your thoughts on this? Do you agree with Mike?
Not really, no. But I think the players have to do it, really. If the fans want to stay, then they can stay. If not, they can leave. It's just up to the fans if they want to stay for that. But the thing about Fulham fans is they're loyal and they will support the club. And so I think the players have to appreciate it in a way. And I know we've had a tough couple of years, but I just think the players have to show their appreciation for the fans because we have been good. We have been good in supporting them this season. So just think they should do it out of appreciation for us, really.
Okay, very, very interesting take by yourself as well. All right, guys, let's go into our Bolton preview. We should be able to do this in about 15 minutes, and I'll just share some information with you from WhoScored.com. Let's start with Bolton. They are relegated at 24th. They only have 5 victories on the season. They have 15 draws, 25 losses. They've scored 41. They've given up 80. Believe it or not, more than Fulham. They're on a minus 39 goal differential. They've only had 30 points this season. Fulham are 21st, 11 victories, 15 draws, 19 losses. Scored 65 but given up 79 for a minus 14 goal differential. Just tell you a little bit about Bolton. Their strengths, coming back from losing positions, very strong. Stealing the ball from the opposition, again, very strong. They are strong at attacking set pieces and aerial duels. They have several weaknesses. Defending against attacks down the wings. Defending counterattacks. Avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Protecting the lead. They're very weak at finishing scoring chances. Defending against long shots. Defending against through ball attacks. Defending against skillful players. Their style, they attack through the middle. Attempt crosses often, long balls, attacking down the left, control the game in the opposition's half. They're aggressive. They play the offside trap. Player to watch, I would say probably their most highly rated player, I believe, is Zach Clough. So that's a player to watch tomorrow. And, Mr. Greg, I'm going to start with you. Let's talk about Fulham. Who are your key players tomorrow? What are you expecting?
Who are key players? You haven't mentioned the one stat there that's going around, Russ, is that they're the only team not to win away out of the football, you know, out of 92 teams. So, of course,
wow,
they're going to win, aren't they? So, you know, it's charity day again. I have to say, I hadn't really thought about it until today, but I'm not really looking forward to tomorrow as a match because we haven't turned up the last couple of games. It's going to be a sunny day. Bolton are bringing 1,200 down, I think. You know, their players are playing for pride, really. And Bolton are usually a team we do very well against at home. You know, there's been some decent wins over the years. But I'm actually fearing for tomorrow, given what I've seen over the last couple of games where the players basically have got the deck chairs out and the sun hats on and, you know, just letting people walk past them. So I'm not looking forward to it at all. Key players, the whole defence for me, because no matter who we play, we're atrocious at defending, and I'm having nightmares about that goal from the corner last week still. Russ, you saw me tweet at the time and a couple of times through the game. I'm just horrified by it. So the defenders, whoever he picks, you know, given the fact that with the injury, so you know, we'll talk about the team later, but I think, you know, Burns, Stearman, Ream, they're all going to have key things to do in the box, and Bettinelli as well if he plays. So for me, it's the defence. They've got to turn up this week and not get sliced open like they were last week, because despite the fact Bolton...
Oh, sorry about that, mate, go ahead.
That's all right. Despite the fact Bolton are bottom, you know, that doesn't really matter when we play teams, does it? We're just, you know, we can play the best team or the worst team. It depends on who turns up from our side and decides to do their job. So, the defence for me are the key ones.
Okay, very good. Curtis, over to you. Who are your key players? Do you agree with Mike that it's the defense, or is there somewhere else on the pitch that you think is where the key players are tomorrow?
Well, I'll start with the man that I always pick, Scott Parker, most influential man, leadership wise that we've had since being relegated. So he'll be key in our organisation tomorrow, making sure we don't fall asleep. My next key player, Marcus Bettinelli. I think Zach Clough is a good player, and I know a lot of fans, Fulham fans, would take him if Fulham were offered him. And so I think he'll be busy tomorrow, Zach Clough. If he gets on the ball, then Marcus will have to pull out a few saves. And my next one tomorrow, without Moussa Dembélé there, it's going to be up to Ross McCormack to score the goals. So I think we will probably concede tomorrow, so we got to make sure we score as well. So I'm going with Parker, Bettinelli and McCormack.
Okay, very good. All right, Mike, I'm going to bring you back on, and because I want to get your thoughts on what Fulham need to do to win this match, but you got me thinking about that corner. Now I'm obsessed with that corner because that corner was atrocious. So I want to go back to that last match because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. How much do you blame Marcus Bettinelli for that goal in the corner?
Yeah, well, it's inside the six-yard box, dead center, and it drops down, and he's rooted. So he needs to be coming for that. And that's his weakness, and that's Lonergan's weakness. And so, you know, we've seen how many goals we've conceded in those kind of areas. And I've now got my doubts as to whether Bettinelli should be our number one keeper next year because he can't command that 6 yard, you know, let alone 10 yards. He can't command his 6 yard box. So, it's a horror story really from last week. But what do we do? What do we need to do to win the match? I think tomorrow's going to be high scoring. So it's simply we've got to score more goals than them. So you know you could be looking at a 3-2, a 4-3, or something like that. And I don't think it's going to be cagey at all. You've got two of the worst, you know, bottom four sides, and that's what I expect. So yeah, Ross is going to need to get involved, and a couple of the others as well. So it's really the simple fact is score more goals than Bolton, and that's how we win, because we won't keep a clean sheet.
Mike, I tend to agree with your take on that. Curtis, over to you. Do you agree with Mike? It really is just about scoring more goals tomorrow because we're going to concede?
Yeah, I think so. I just said a moment ago that I think we're going to concede. So so I think we just need to attack, just keep going at them. Don't let them have any time on the ball, really. And just always look to go forward and keep possession and get in Bolton's face and try and knock their confidence, get a couple of goals early, and then just attack, really. I would attack whatever the situation is, even drawing or winning, I'd still attack, because they are a weak side in defence, and we've got McCormack up front, so good striker versus bad defence. Hopefully we can just score some goals, but on the opposite side, good striker versus bad defence on Zach Clough versus the Fulham defence, really. So it's going to be tough. I think both teams are going to score tomorrow, so hopefully we can just score more goals than them and attack.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, it's time to go to starting 11. Let's try to do this fairly quickly, guys, within a couple minutes of each. And, Mike, I'm going to go to you. I'm real curious what your starting 11 is going to be for tomorrow.
I mean, You know me, Russ, I'd like to have given a couple of the under-21s a start, but I don't think that's going to happen. So can I just mention on the bench, I'd like to see Aaron Davis and Humphreys from the under-21s in the squad. But starting-wise, there isn't really much to choose, is there? But Bettinelli in goal, Fredericks and Ream, even after last week, as the fullbacks. Stearman and Byrne as the centre backs, and then in midfield, I'm denied about this, but I'd actually go with a sort of a diamond, and I'd play Tunnicliffe sitting with Heidman and LVC sort of to left and right of him, and Kearney at the point of it, and then up front I'd have Ross and Corley Woodrow, and so that would be my team. But I think Jokanović will start with Smith. I'll just say that.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, Mike. All right, over to you, Curtis. Just quickly, if you could, starting 11.
In goal, Marcus Bettinelli. I don't think you have much choice, really. He's the guy going forward long term rather than Lonergan, I think. So put him in. Try and prepare for next season. And right back, Ryan Fredericks. He's got good pace, so keep him there. Centre back. Bit disappointed that Fernando and Maddle were out, so I had to pick Byrne and Stearman as much as I didn't want to. Left back, I'd go with Luke Garbutt. When Ream came in at left back, I didn't think he did an overly good job. I thought he did an okay job, but it's just dropped. And I'm going to go the same Mike in a 4-1-2-1-2, the diamond. So the defensive midfielder in that diamond, Scott Parker. The two centre mids, Ryan Tunnicliffe and Lasse Vegan Christensen. Some energy there, so... hopefully that'll be the engine of our midfield, and just behind the strikers, Tom Kearney, and then up front, Matt Smith and Ross McCormack. I was debating Corley Woodrow, but I've just gone with Matt Smith because I think he might have a bit more so often next season than Corley, just because of his height, and Fulham, I think, need to use Matt Smith's height as to their advantage, and so yeah, that's my starting 11. And like Mike, I'd like to see some youngsters on the bench, good experience for them, and to be around the match day squad and hopefully get a few minutes would be good for a few youngsters to be on there.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, it's time for predictions. We'll start with the Cotter's Talk Twitter page. I had 150 votes, a good amount of votes. Win was at 59%, draw was at 12%, and loss was at 29%. Very interesting thoughts there. Let's now go to the Facebook page. I have a good amount of predictions from the Cotter's Talk Facebook page. Let's start with James Clay. He has 3-1 to Fulham. John Mason, for once in a quite long time, I think we will win this and keep a clean sheet. I go for 2-0 to Fulham, but I've had a couple of glasses of wine today. Very, very funny. Sean Collins says, Bolton 2-1. Trucker Dave, Goldfest normally is when I get to see a live game. 4-2 to Fulham, McCormack first goal. Grant Harris, lots of goals to be seen tomorrow. 4-1 to the Whites. Ben Reed, sadly, I think our squad is in disarray, and I predict a 1-0 loss. I do hope I'm wrong, though. Stephen O'Keefe, 2-1 to Fulham. David Kettlehake, I'm sticking with my usual score line, 3-1. Reg Hollis, very funny, Reg, he says 4-1 to Forrest. Marcus McKellis says 3-2 to Fulham. Colin Bugler, 6-3. A Ross McCormack hat trick, 2 own goals and a screamer from Fredericks. Charlie Bevan, Fulham 6-1. Jill Fuller says end of season on a high. Don't care what the score is or who scores, but please win. P.S. the tea lady, if available, could score. Stephen Butters, 3-0 to Fulham. Tom Ward, 5-0 to Fulham. Gary Cooper, back to the poor performance. Good performance, I think. High noon for Bolton. David Holly, 2-1. 2-1 Fulham, Russ. Okay. Paul Stanley Fulham to end the season on a high, 6-0. Doug Crump, better effing win, that's what. Richard Bamber has 4-0 to Fulham, and Simon Haneed, 2-2. All right, Curtis, what's your prediction?
I'm going with 3-1 to Fulham. Hopefully, Matt Smith can get on the score sheet to prove that there's a bit of competition for next season's up front starting position. And yeah, I just want to like to see Ryan Tunnicliffe and Lassie get a goal, really. But it doesn't matter who scores as long as we get the win, end the season on the high, and go into next season as best prepared we can.
Okay, very good. And Curtis, major thank you for joining me tonight. You were great, my friend. I just want to say that before we wrap up, okay?
Thanks, Russ. It's been a pleasure, as always, to come on. And I've had a good time, and want to thank Mike as well. He's been good and fair tonight. And thanks, Mike, and thanks to you, Russ.
Okay, very good. Let's get Mike back on the line. Mike, prediction.
Oh, which way do you think I'm going to go, Russ? I'm not looking forward to it. I think it's going to be 3-2, 4-3 against us. So I'll go with a 3-2. So you can see I'm just drained by the whole season, Russ, like everyone else, and just want it over with tomorrow, to be quite frank. But, yeah, lots of goals, but we're going to be on the wrong end of it, I'm afraid. Yeah, that's it, Russ. We're not going to win tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair enough there, Mike. And I have to give my prediction. Then I want to go back to both of you for a final thought. Listen, I can't go against Fulham. I can't give David Holly that satisfaction. I'm going down swinging. He's already won our bet. It was the last 10 matches. Fulham have only won 3 out of 9, so I can't win. So David Holly wins again, which drives me crazy. But just to bother David, I'm going to go to 4-1 to Fulham. A hat trick from Ross McCormack. And the other goal, I'm going to throw one out of the blue, and I'm going to say it's going to be Emerson Hyman, because I think Emerson Hyman's going to play. So I'm going to say 4-1 to Fulham. I'm probably wrong, but that's what I'm going to go with. All right, Curtis, my friend, any final thought before we go?
No, just thanks, and just hopefully prepare for next season the best way we can, and see what Mike Rigg and Slavisa do in the summer, and hopefully they can do some good business and come back next season better than ever and push for promotion. But I'm just looking to avoid relegation, if I'm honest, and hope we build a better squad than we have done this season and climb up the league and prepare in the best possible ways for promotion in the future.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you for final thought. And listen, before I do, I just want to mention this. You know, we were having some technical difficulties to start the show, and I want to thank Mike for joining me. It's always a pleasure having both of you. But Mike and I have been dealing with some technical difficulties with the service that we use, and I just want to thank him for getting through this, you know, with all the issues that we've been having with this line that we have Mike calling, and Mike called in a different way, so you might have heard a little bit of an echo. But I don't care, because it's worth it to have Mr. Mike Gregg on. And I just want to mention before I bring him back on that I plan on doing several shows in the next few weeks. And one I'm going to be doing with Mike deals with the Riverside Stand Project. He's going to be joining me along with Chris Gilbertson, who hasn't been on in a long time. I look forward to doing that with you, Mike. But I want to give you the end of the show. Please share your final thought.
Well, yeah, cheers, Russ. I'm looking forward to the show on the stand and the various other bits and pieces. I want to say well done to Curtis. He joined the show, what is it now, within the last couple of months, and has done really well when I've listened to him. And, hopefully he'll be back next year. And I'd like to thank you, Russ, for running the show this season. You know, it is the last game and the last preview show, and it's been a tough season to follow him after the last couple of years as well, and I know all the listeners thank you for all the hard work you're doing, all the co-hosts as well, all the work you do, and I'd like to thank all the listeners who comment as well. And we know we get good numbers, we get a bit of stick from certain fans, shall we say, but we have a good enough following on Cottage Talk, and a lot of it is down to you, Russ, and you know, keep up the good work, and you know, we'll carry on into next year, and the post shows and the preview shows for the next season as well, and look forward to coming back on.
Okay, thank you for saying that, Mike. That means a great deal. It's this is going to end the fifth season. Of course, we're going to have a post match show as well of Cottage Talk Extra Time after the Bolton match. But just to think about this, that I've been doing this now for five seasons, and it's been pure joy. I'm lucky to do it with such great people, and that will be my final thought. Just dealing with Curtis, you've been an excellent addition, and Mike, of course, you are always great. And we're going to have many shows. We're going to have many shows after the season ends. Of course, we're going to have the post match, but many shows. And it's been very rewarding doing this show. I love doing this show. It's given me so much. So I just want to thank all of my co-hosts. There are so many of them to name. So I'll just say thank you to all of the co-hosts and all the listeners of Cottage Talk. It really is special for me to do this show. I wanted to create a show along with Kyle when we began this 5 years ago, just a show to have talk about Fulham. And then I really just took over. Kyle. Kyle went off to do a job, and then I was it was really became my show, and I'm lucky that I've surrounded myself with such great people, and that's what it's about. You know, I was talking to Matt Smith about this. I see myself as more the producer or the coach, and I just surrounded myself with just great co-hosts. So thank you guys, and thank everyone for listening. But let's wrap up the show. For Curtis Hurd and Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Mike.
Boys and girls.